Hey everybody, welcome to another chronologically accurate episode of Songs in the Key of X. I'm your affable yet often confused host, Jeffrey X. Martin of Biff Bam Pop. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Wait, no, that's not right. That was what? 68? Is that right? What do you do for a time machine? I don't know. Hold on to your butt, I guess? We're going back to 1981 on this episode, and what a year 1981 turned out to be. It was the year MTV first hit the airwaves. People tried to kill both President Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II. 1981 also saw the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. Good things happened, too. Ric Flair defeated Dusty Rhodes in Kansas City, winning his first World Heavyweight Wrestling Championship. Nintendo released Donkey Kong to the arcades. And the music was diverse and wonderful, and there was something out there for just about anyone to love. You got favorites, I've got favorites, I've got a show, so here are mine. This is the 1981 show, and this is number 5. From the album of the same name, that's Jim Steinman with Bad for Good. Steinman is best known as the songwriter for Meatloaf's hit record Bad Outta Hell. He had a proclivity towards bombastic songs, story songs, songs that wouldn't be out of place in a big Broadway musical. His vision was grand, and that epicness really came across on his solo record Bad for Good. The song itself celebrates corruption, a man imploring his intended to drop the goody-two-shoes act and get crazy. Steinman wraps his message in lyrics both surprising and flowery. The song is the definition of... It's late-night fireworks after a baseball game. It's 20-foot-high waves crashing on the beach. It's your first toke, that first enticing sip of wine. Overproduced? Absolutely. Even silly at times. But Bad for Good revels in its excesses, and sin never sounded so appealing. Number 4. Keep up your spirit. Keep up your faith, baby. I am counting on you. You know what you've got to do. Fight the good fight. Now on the opposite end of the moral spectrum, you would find the other Canadian power trio, Triumph, with their song Fight the Good Fight. This song was the second single from their album Allied Forces. Triumph's focal point was singer and guitarist Rick Emmett. With his feathered blonde hair and his Gibson Flying V, Emmett had that classic rock star look, the kind that made the girls swoon and the guys wish they knew how to play a musical instrument. Fight the Good Fight is inspirational and encouraging, reminding listeners to keep up their spirits and their faith. And there it is. Is Fight the Good Fight a Christian song? Maybe. I mean, Emmett does reference the good book and incorporates a couple of scriptures into the lyrics. You can debate the spirituality of this song all you want. I am far more entranced by how tight and sleek Fight the Good Fight is, from the acoustic guitar to the nasty tone the snare drum has to the sweet understated bass line. This song is a treasure. Triumph wanted you to be good for good. a rarity in what came to be known as the Decade of Decadence. Number 3.
So what's the point of robbery when nothing is worth taking? There's quite a lot to tell a squat the big mistake he's making. Stand and deliver your money or your life. Oh, try and deliver your bullet or your life. Oh, even though you fool yourself, your conscience will be mine. Oh, 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 mine.
Riding onto the charts like Dennis Moore looking for lupins came Adam and the Ants with their song Stand and Deliver. Let's call Adam and the Ants a fashion band. That seems right. Lead singer Adam Ant had style, clothing that seemed to be a mix of early colonial and Blackbeard the Pirate. Adam and the Ants wrote songs that encouraged people to be themselves, individuals with their own viewpoints, not afraid to shock the public with how they thought or how they dressed. And of course, once you did that, that meant that you were a true disciple of the band, a part of Insect Nation. So individuality brought you into conformity? I don't know. Look, I don't know how clothes work. Stand and Deliver finds Adam and his ants in the role of highway robbers, the ones that would force carriages off the road and demand that the passengers hand over their money and possessions, you know, doubloons and such. Adam Ant gives them fashion tips. He mocks the clumsy boots and peekaboo roots that people think so dashing. Look, that would piss me off. I think I would much rather give you my money than have you question my wardrobe choices. Whatever. The chorus of the song is memorable, particularly with the heavy drums and the grunting. It's fun to listen to in the car and kind of beat the dashboard in rhythm. Stand and Deliver is also pompous as hell, and it makes me laugh, and that's why it's on the list. I don't have to explain my choices to you. Number 2. From the platinum-certified album Don't Say No, that's Billy Squire with In the Dark. There are multiple reasons why this song resonates with me. That sound at the beginning, which I suppose is some sort of guitar feedback, I don't know, some studio magic, but it reminds me of the noises that I heard in my bedroom when I was a kid. We lived close to the airport and close to the highway, so at night I would hear the echoes of traffic and airplanes just kind of moving through the air and through my open window and into my room. I also had this album on vinyl when it first came out. It's one of the first albums I ever bought with my own money. Squire was a straightforward rocker. Even though he was a Massachusetts kid, his music felt like it was made for a Midwestern audience. Now, I grew up in the greater Cincinnati area, and we had a real big fondness for bands like Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, or the Greg Kinn Band, basically any band whose name ended with the word band. We were all up in it. There was a style, a kind of niche for that music. It was almost a genetic assurance that I would love Billy Squire. Here's a hot take. My first concert was Queen at the old Riverfront Coliseum back in 82. Billy Squire was the opening act, and I swear, Squire blew Queen off the stage, man. He was my first guitar hero, and I wound up seeing him live 3 times. This song grabbed me because it had lyrics with words that had more than 2 syllables, which was kind of amazing. In the Dark felt literate and longing, something deeper and better than the rest of the pablum the local radio stations were pushing. In the Dark may not be a big deal for you, and I get that. But both the song and album were tremendously influential for me. Go listen to the record, see what you think. Number 1. We'll be right back. Come on. Come on. Did you really think we were going to get through 1981 and not discuss Rush's breakthrough album, Moving Pictures? That's track number 4 from the album Limelight, and it is my second favorite Rush song of all time. Moving Pictures was a massive hit on album Oriented Radio. Remember album Oriented Radio? Are you old? Like me? When I first heard the song Tom Sawyer, that opening keyboard sound that frightened me on some sort of primal Christian level, like how the Catholics used to be afraid of tritones. But Limelight, hey, what a piece of paranoid glory. Alex Lifeson's opening riff all by itself until Neil Peart comes in with that quick triplet on the drums, inviting Geddy Lee in to anchor the song with his bass. And you can almost feel the wax extricate itself from your ear holes, just melting in the presence of greatness. Sure, Limelight could be looked at as just another rock song about rock and roll, but Peart's lyrics were, they were different. They were thoughtful. There was no sex and drugs utopian ideal. Limelight talked about how hard life on the road was, the plastic sheen of being a performer, the inability to pretend that the stranger was some long-awaited friend. Turn that page, Bob Seger. Limelight is a deeply personal song. It's a cry for solitude and insularity, and it may be the song that helps secure Rush's reputation as a serious band. How can you hang around after the show and pick up girls? Really, all you want to do is drink some hot tea and read a book. Musicians are human. They have personal lives. They need personal space. And Limelight reminds us of that, even as we, as the audience, clamor to be in a state where we can share space and time with them. We at Biff Bam Pop invite you to share space and time with us as we cover a multitude of pop culture topics. Music, movies, horror, action figures, wrestling, you get the gist. There's good stuff on this here site, and I encourage you to click about and find your bliss or something, I don't know. Follow the BBP Songs in the Key of X playlist on Spotify. There's a link below. You could click that, or you could just do a search. That seems simple enough. I gotta take this time machine in for a tune-up. I don't know who works on time machines around here. I guess I could do a search. That seems simple enough. My name is Jeffrey X. Martin. You've been listening to Songs in the Key of X, and until next time... I don't wanna take you down or shatter.